this last Faith Walkers, the last day that we were there, the last full day we were there, the entire core group of people who moved here like 5-6 years ago was there. And it was really awesome to see everybody there. But I wanted to kind of go over last week, remind us of last week. Last week, Keegan talked about Daniel. And I really liked it. I really enjoyed it. I really got something from it. It was talking about like living as a Christian in an ungodly world. And I hope you guys got something out of it because I know I did. Last week I was sitting there and I was just like having a good time singing out praises to the Lord. And I was so filled with joy. And I was sitting there like, why am I so filled with joy right now? And I realized it's because it was the first Sunday I had woken up without a migraine in like ages. I can't remember except for today and last Sunday that I woke up without a migraine. And it was kind of a convicting shock because I was like, this is awesome. I'm getting this joy. I'm like, God is blessing me with this. But I was really finding my joy in the relief of pain rather than the fact that God is my God. And that was what Keegan was talking about with Daniel. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego weren't really getting their joy. They weren't focusing on what would happen if God blessed them. They were focusing on God. And then I was just like, okay, yeah, thank you, God, for reminding me that I really do need to find my joy in you and not in my circumstances. So I hope you guys got something from it. I just wanted to share what I got from it because it's good to share these things with each other. It's good to say how we're going to apply it each week. And that's what our prayer is that each of us really takes what the Word of God does in our lives and really applies it and shares it with others. Because then we can share it with others who will be faithful to share with others as well. So anyway, Daniel, his life, the lives of his friend, really, you know, they were really a kickstart to really on the new year and how to live as Christians in this ungodly world. And that's really what we're going to be focusing on over the next few weeks is how to live as Christians in an ungodly world. And really the verse we're going to be focusing on is 1 Peter 2:17. And 1 Peter 2:17 says, honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear the Lord. And I think it says honor the emperor in ESV, but honor the king is what I think that's NASB that I memorized it in back in the day. But it's like, all right, honor, it's so super simple. Like in NASB, it's periods after every statement. It's honor everyone, fear the Lord, or love the brotherhood, fear the Lord, honor the king. And I love it because it's just like, do these things. and from that, what we're going to do is over the next few weeks is we're going to break down each of those statements and see how we as Christians are going to live like that, how this affects our lives. If we honor everyone, if we love the brotherhood, if we fear the Lord and honor the king. And I feel like in this day and age, it goes from like almost hardest to easiest. Like honoring everyone is super hard. Loving people is less hard because, you know, your brothers and sisters in Christ. Fearing the Lord is less hard because he's the Lord, but there's still like an abstractness about it sometimes. And honoring the king is like, well, there are laws, I have to obey them or else I'll get thrown in jail. And so, yeah, like if you don't honor the king and his laws, like sometimes you'll get thrown in jail. And sometimes that's not the worst thing that can happen to you. And we'll get over that whenever we get to that. But before we get into this week's topic, which is honoring everyone, I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask God to come to us. Father God, we do thank you. We praise you that you are Lord of all, that you have given us your word, that we can come before you, that we can be focused on you. I pray that you would take away distractions, that you would allow us to enjoy your word and really hone in on what you have to say. God, I pray that you would speak through me, that you would give your message, that you would give your words, and that we would have the faith to hear and apply what you've done and what you've said. So, Jesus Christ, we praise you. We thank you for the gift that you've given us to come before the God of all. And we ask that you would do these things in your precious and holy name. Amen. Awesome. So, figure it out. You know, if we're talking about how to honor everyone, right? If we're, you know, living as Christians in an ungodly world, how do we honor everyone? What's the definition of honor? Like, so just, I was just searching, you know, as you do, on the interwebs, and broke down, what is honor? Regard with great respect or high esteem. That's the simplest definition. Like, regard with greatest respect or high esteem. So the question is, why is this important to us? Why is this important today? The culture we live in is really a culture of disrespect. If you think about it, where we go, what our thoughts are about the people that have gone before us and set up positions. Like, for example, you know, you think about on social media, just the disrespect that people have, not only for like people of authority, but for each other. I'm not trying to say, oh yeah, it's everybody else is doing this. You know, it guilty. Like we do this every day whenever we're like, yeah, a person was a jerk. You know that. You know, we don't think about, you know, what they could be going through. We just immediately put ourselves in our shoes rather than putting ourselves in their shoes. Sometimes, you know, like over at Faith Walkers, funny enough, Tony Pearson was talking about putting ourselves in other people's shoes and really getting our beliefs from that and trying to come to people with that expectation. So like his example was kids running around on the subway, just causing a ruckus, all this kind of stuff, and the dad is just sitting there with the paper in front of him. Our thoughts are, man, that dad is just not taking care of his kids. What is he doing? You know, that kind of thing. One of the kids knocks over a coffee. We finally just, I've had enough. I'm putting my foot down. I'm going to, you know, I'm not going to stand for this. Go and talk to that dad. What are you doing? You're a bad dad. Your kids are knocking down all this stuff. And the dad just puts down the paper and just, you can see that his face is distraught. He's like, I'm so sorry. You're right. I should be taking care of these kids. We just buried their mother and I just can't handle this right now. If we had that mindset, if we had that, like, put ourselves in that person's shoes, like, if we had that mindset of approaching that person with the thought that, wow, this guy could be going through something, because normal parents wouldn't do this, so what's going on? There's got to be something wrong. You know, how would we have approached the situation differently? So, you know, then you approach and like, hey, is everything okay? And then he turns out he's a jerk. Then you can be like, okay, well, you know, you know that. Then you back away. You're like, okay, fair enough. But why it's so important is because it is so cross-cultural. Because in America, we are very us-focused. We're very me-centric. We are very much like, hey, how can I do what I want to do? And the best thing about the Bible is that it is exactly the opposite. And by the grace of God, we can live the exact opposite way. We can think of others as more important than ourselves. And that's in Philippians 2, if you guys want to read that. But just thinking, having a humble state of mind, thinking of others is more important than ourselves. And that's why it's important to have this honor everyone regard, because it is very cross-cultural. It is because it's the cross culture, not the world culture. But it is very against what this society and culture have to do. So that's why it's very important. And so, in fact, John 17, Jesus, you know, that's the high priestly prayer where Jesus is going through all of the different things that he's praying for his disciples about. And, you know, we'll read that real quick. I'll read it with you guys. So, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. And so there are two things here. The one in verse 16, we're not of this world now that Christ is the king of our lives. So yes, we may live here. We may see this culture around us consistently trying to shape us and mold us, but we're not of this world. We have made Christ the king of our lives because he is not of this world. You know, we are not of this world. And then back up to verse 15, Jesus asked that we stay here. Why would he ask that the Father would not take us out of this world? If we know, you know, this is the great question. If we know that God loves us, and we know heaven is the best place for us, why are we still here? Why are we here? Because we know that God loves us, we know heaven's the best place for us, why are we still here? It's so that we can be in this world and be a light to others, and so that we can be influencers. And that's why, you know, I think that Jesus was praying that, and also praying that we'd be protected from the evil one, keep them from the evil one. Because the truth of the matter is, we've read where the devil is prowling around like a roaring lion, waiting to devour somebody. And you know, we've seen that whole gazelle picture where the lions are stalking a herd of gazelles, and they find one of the gazelles that's weaker and lagging behind, and they pounce. And that's exactly what the devil is. And that's why God is asking, or Jesus is asking, that we be kept from the evil one. Because, you know, if we're straggling behind, if we're lagging behind, it's so much easier for us to get pounced upon. And why are we here? It is really a new job title that we have. If any of us have gone over 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21, about how we are new, the old is gone, and now we are ambassadors for Christ. And we are truly ambassadors for Christ. I didn't put that up there, but I'll repeat it again if you guys are interested. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21 just kind of gives the layout of who we are now in Christ. And so, you know, we've been asked, God, you know, Jesus prayed that prayer for us so that we could be here and kind of counteract that culture of disrespect and dishonor. And in fact, we're going to look at 1 Peter 2 some more. 1 Peter 2, 9 through 12. And this kind of sets up why Peter was able to say those four points. So I'll read it with you guys. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Well, let's just pause there. That verse right there alone tells us who we are. We're a chosen race. We're royal in the sight of God because of what Christ has done with us. And it's not just that we can be all together, be royal in this room, but so that we can proclaim the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. I pray that each of us really takes that to heart and remembers that we are here to proclaim those things. You know, we sing these songs like, you know, out of the darkness into your light, you know, like, you know, I'm running, that kind of thing. And it's fun. It's excellent to sing them and sing his praises here to him. But remember when we're out at our job or when we're, oh man, that teacher just really, we all of us failed this last test and we're really looking for an extra thing and the teacher's not really cutting us slack. It'd be so easy to just jump alongside and be like, man, what a jerk. But instead, turning and thinking, man, okay, how can I bless instead of curse? So thinking, oh, instead, what a jerk. What, man, all right, what an opportunity to let God's glory be shown in how, well, we all flunked. So if I pass this next test, it's obviously the work of the Lord. Like, thinking through that. Thinking through those opportunities. And it's not just about having a sunny disposition. It's about being real and knowing the truth. So let's continue on, though. Once you were a people, not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Again, reiterating that. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul, and keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. You know, we see that. We see whenever, it's just that sense when someone is really doing things out of God's love and honoring others and being so very anti-cultural, as it were. And we recognize those people whenever they're out there, you know, like picking up trash in the rain or something, you know, like doing something to honor others, like, you know, giving, feeding the soup kitchen, like, and having a good attitude about it. That, you know, I'm not just saying doing those good works because of platitudes, but I'm saying doing those good works out of the love and the grace that God has given you, or in the workplace or at school, like having that good attitude, even though, man, it is a rough situation. And so, you know, why are we sojourners? Well, we're sojourners because, again, remember that we have a home in heaven that's waiting for us, and it's perfect. But here on this earth is not home for us. And keep our conduct honorable and respectful. And so I just wanted to share a few stories of my life, of how God's really been able to bless others through using just means, just me, a weird, just simple dude who's just a random guy. So first one, actually, both of these stories real quick are going to be from my workplace. But the first one, I was only there about, seven months. It's probably just after the turn of the year, 7 months in. And I work at Chick-fil-A. I'm in the window, and you know, in the window, you're taking money, you're giving money back, you're taking cards and swiping them and giving those back and everything like that. And somehow, in the midst of a transaction, I have a manager card that I swipe to open and close drawers and that kind of thing. I have this lady's card, and we're talking, and I just absentmindedly put her card in my pocket and put her receipt in her bag. Instead of hand, usually I put the card in her. I mean, ever since this day, I've been very careful hand both at the same time. But I just absentmindedly did that and gave her the food. And we were talking back and forth, and I didn't even notice it. I didn't think I noticed it, and she didn't notice it. And she drives up, and you know, we're sitting there, and she comes back in, and I'm sitting there on window trying to get cars through. Someone comes up, hey, do you know where that lady's card is? She said she dropped, like a person said she dropped her card and doesn't know where it's at. So I'm like, okay, I look out the window, and I'm craning, and I'm looking around like everywhere that it could possibly be. I'm like, I don't know where it's at. I'm so sorry. But I keep on pumping cars through, and I'm keep on moving. And she's out there, and she's searching. Like 10 minutes later, she's still searching, and everyone's like, Darren, are you sure you don't know where it's at? She swears that she gave you her card and you didn't give it back. I'm like, I don't have her card. And I do this, and I'm like, I do have her card. And so I go, and I immediately just go, and I'm like, here, like, smile on my face, but here, I'm so sorry that I had your card, and I totally didn't even recognize that I put it away, you know. And she just looked at me, and she goes, I knew it, and then takes it and walks away. Nothing big. She didn't like try to come after me or anything like that. But about 5 minutes later, someone took my place on window, and I went back to the office and had a conversation with my GM, my GM's boss, and the owner of the operation sitting there. And they're like, Darren, we looked at the cameras and we can see that you did this. And like, well, they gave me that. They said, Darren, what happened? I said, I don't know. I must have put it away in my pocket. I don't know what happened. And I was very honest, open with them. Said, I'm so sorry. Like, I gave it back to her because I'd like, once I found it, I felt so terrible and all this kind of stuff. And they said, well, we see on the camera that you took it like and put it in your pocket. And if it were anybody else, immediately fired. But because of your reputation, because of how you've really gone out of your way to honor everybody and really show respect to those around you, like, we're just make sure it doesn't happen again. Like, And I said, absolutely. And, you know, like 100%, no worries. I will not do that again. Never have I ever accidentally taken someone's card again. But I want to remind us that it's not because, like, man, Darren's such a good guy. It's because of the grace of God that that happened, because I, by his word, we can see that work is an opportunity to bless others, is an opportunity to give to others. And so that's how I treat work, is an opportunity to serve, an opportunity to bless, an opportunity to honor and to respect, and seeing the best in other people. And because of that, God really was gracious to me on that, because I would have gotten fired right then and there, 7 months in. Doesn't matter. I had gotten promoted like super quick, like high prestige, that kind of stuff. Didn't matter, because I basically stole from a guest accidentally, but it happened. And so luckily, God was very gracious there. And then another incident, less than a year ago, a guest came up. And they were trying to get money back, and they were trying to do all this stuff, and they didn't have a receipt. They had never called in. They were arguing with me. Basically, my sense was that they were trying to get free food for nothing, and they actually did not bring anything back. They were just like, hey, I want this. And I said, I'm sorry, I can't give you this because policy and et cetera. And very gently, very respectfully dealt with that person, lovingly. In fact, because I was like, I totally see where you're coming from. I can't give you anything because you don't have anything that says you came here. None of us. I talked to all of the managers. You don't have a name of someone you talked to, and you're like, I didn't say this, but their story had changed many times. Basically, they were trying to lie their way into getting something free. And what they did was they typed up a comment saying that I was racist, that I had cussed them out, and that I had done all these things that were very, like, blatantly not true. But because they had said it against me and not anybody else, immediately everyone else was like, well, that's not true. That person just wanted to get something free. And eventually, like, because they were obviously, they wanted something free, we gave them something free. We gave them a free meal because they were willing to go to great lengths to do it. But yeah, that's how it works. good to know. There you go. A little FYI, if you're nice, I know that I prefer nice people, and I try to help nice people. If you're mean, a lot of people, like, it will either just immediately try to get something and go away, that kind of thing. But so that story is there because, again, because of my conduct at work, because of how I treat people with respect, how I honor people, how I go out of the way to love others. And it's very easily, you can easily be lambasted for something you said ages ago. You can something that you said years ago. And so this was in 4 years of working, over 4 years, no one could ever remember me making a racist remark. No one could ever remember me like showing someone that much indignity or anything like that. And so everyone was on my side, praise the Lord, because of God's grace. And the reason why I wanted to share those stories with you, because there are stories of those successes, but there are stories of me messing up as well. When I mess up, I immediately am like, so someone called in one time and they were just yelling at me. And you know what I said? I said, I'm sorry, your anger is escalating this situation. And then immediately, as those words came out of my mouth, I was like, and I'm sorry I just said that. What can I do for you? And so they immediately calmed down and everything like that. But I shared that story with others. And I was like, guys, learn from my mistakes. And I share my faults easily. I'm open with that. And I encourage everybody to share those things with those around you in high respect. But don't try to hide when you mess up. That's how we are, you know, whenever we mess up, how we really truly treat someone with honor and respect is to apologize. If we mess up and we say, oh man, like I definitely messed up, we need to apologize. So like that person was calm then, but then they still wrote a cares comment. I'm the one that called them back. A cares comment is a comment to the story. I'm the one that called them back and said, yes, I was wrong. You're right. Thank you for putting this in there because, you know, you wanted to make sure that other people saw it. So anyway, I wanted to encourage you guys with those stories because it's not just about the great successes and just seeing like the through the trial God come through. It's about being humble in failure and those things as well. Making sure that we are open and honest with those things. Because again, how we treat someone with honor and respect is being honest, being humble, coming to them. And remember, it's really God that transforms lives. If I was in this position like 10 years ago even, like right as a new Christian, done. Like, I don't think I would have been, you know, God has put us each in our respective places for such a time as this, for our working, right? So remember that. Remember it's God who's in control. And we're going to look at 1 Peter 3:15 through 16. And this really kind of gives the next point here. But in your hearts regard Christ the Lord as holy, so keeping him above all else, right? We want to honor people, but we want to honor Christ as holy, as the number one. Always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. So whenever people see that hope in you, whenever people see you focusing wholly on Christ, people are bound to ask. Like, I don't know how many times waking up at 5 or before 5, getting to work at 5, and people are like, Darren, how are you so energetic? And I just say, Jesus. Like, you got to focus on Jesus, right? Giving that because honestly, I'm feeling inside, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's 5 in the morning. What am I doing? Moving boxes of chicken. I don't want to work out. I want to sleep. I don't want to do this. I want to sleep. And people are, I'm just, all right, let's do it. Come on, gang. You know, because I know that honoring Jesus is above all else. Yet, do it with gentleness and respect, having good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. And that's the part we don't want to focus on, but that's the part that unfortunately happens. Again, if we're living for Christ, people are going to want to tear that down. The evil one is going to want. Remember that Jesus prayed for protection against the evil one. The evil one is going to want to tear that down. He's going to want to tear our reputation away. So that if we're in good conscience, if we're giving honor and respect in those answers, when people say, now why do you choose to homeschool? Why do you choose to tithe? Like, what are you doing with your money? Like, I remember those questions, like, as a college student, I was like working terrible, like minimum wage, and people were asking, why are you tithing? Why are you giving 10% of your money away? That's not a feasible investment. Like, the church is a lie, everything like that, and I'm gonna honor God. And I want to do it. And again, you want to do this in a respectful way. I know many times that I haven't, but praise the Lord, there are more times I have than I haven't. And I pray that for all of you guys as well. When people ask you, like, why are you choosing to use your wake up early on a Sunday? What are you doing on a Friday night going and praying? What are you doing with your afternoons? Why shouldn't you be studying? Shouldn't you be doing all this? And yes, you should study. Just putting that out there, you guys should study, you guys should focus. I mean, you guys are in school and at work for a reason. Honor that, okay? But remember, in your hearts, regard Christ the Lord as holy. Understand that he is of utmost importance. And so let's look at just this last verse here, Matthew 5:16. This is one of those things that, like, you know, we have those songs and everything like that. You know, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel? No, I'm going to let it shine. That's right. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify the Father, your Father who is in heaven. This is what it comes down to. When we honor people, whenever we are respectful to people, they will see that good behavior. They will see how we honor those. And they'll be like, that person's different. There is something different. They are a holy nation. They are set apart, a royal priesthood, right? There's something set apart. You know, they may not word it like that in their head, but really, That's what they're saying. They're seeing the light of Christ in our lives whenever we do these things. And I want to encourage all of us to do that as well. And like, these are words to live by. To live a Christian life in an ungodly world, these are words to live by, is to honor everyone, to love the brotherhood, to show honor and respect to the king, and to fear the Lord. No, I switched those two, but so I'm going to give you three words, actually, just three simple words that really help me really kind of focus in and hone in of what do I do? How do I do this, right? Because it's good to have all these, like, man, this is how I should live, and this is how it can be done, or this is what the really goal is. How do I do it? What do I do? That's what we need, right? What do I do? And so just three words, just real quick. I'll say them. Resolve, honor, and go. But I'll expand that real quick. So resolve, right? What does it mean to resolve? Resolve to follow Christ and honor him above all else. If we resolve in our lives, first and foremost, to honor Christ above all, to follow him, you know, that basically wipes clean all the other issues. Like, if we're honoring Christ and following after him, if we're having those times where we're reading and really devoted to his word and really seeking to be changed by his spirit within us, and really praying and asking those things as well, we're not going to have those problems where we're dishonorable. Yes, the flesh may rise up and may try to get us to say stupid stuff. But because of God's gracious spirit, we could have the grace to say no to the ungodly, but yes to the godly, yes to righteousness. So resolve that in your hearts, first and foremost, and make that a daily routine. Resolve that every day. Today, I will follow after God. Today, I will seek your precepts. Today, I will follow your commands. Honor those around you. It's like, love God, love others. It's like the golden rule. Love others as you want to be loved. But honor those around you. Admit fault. Love genuinely, but be tactful as well. One of the verses that really changed my life, we were actually on a way to a conference. We were driving in a car. It was like 4 a.m. or something. I was with two brothers. I don't remember the name of the one, but I was just jabbing away, just going. And he was like, it was 4 a.m. and I was just talking. And they wanted to sleep, and I was like, just talking away, having a good time, you know. And so he shared Proverbs 10:19 with me. It's not up there, but it says this: where words are many, sin is not absent, but the wise know when to be quiet, basically. and so he said that, like, jokingly, like, Darren, this, and then he said, I'm just joking with you. Sorry. Like, but I was like, you know what? You're right though. Like, I'm just jabbering. Is anything I'm saying important? No, not really. If you want to sleep, go ahead. Like, I'm sorry. But I applied that to my life because I was really, like, at that time, like, I really did talk too much. People think I talk a lot now. I spoke too much. Because I would just let any and every thought that came out of my head just right out. Hey, I'm an open book. That's how Christ has changed my life. That's wrong. That's dumb. Wow, that's a dumb way of doing things. You know, just talking, right? But not being tactful, because I was just slandering. I was just, you know, just disrespecting, dishonoring people. And it just came out. And finally, whenever that verse was shared with me, I'm like, you know what? I should have a value on words, because Jesus actually says that we will be held accountable for every word that we say. That's one thing that also gripped me as well, that we'll be held accountable for every word that we say. So be tactful. Know when to speak, and when, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. You know, the wise is, you know, wisdom is shown through not opening your mouth sometimes. And then So that's honor. You want to honor those around you. You want to be tactful. You want to know when to lovingly build up or lovingly reprove. Sometimes there are things that are wrong. I want to encourage us. It's not just about like saying, oh, I see this wrong, but I'm just going to honor them and love them and respect their way of life. There is a way to respect their way of life, but also honor Christ as King, resolve to follow God. And lovingly, honoringly, respectfully saying, look, I see this in your life, this sin that's going on. And I want to come with you and ask, do you recognize it as well? If not, okay. I will pray for them. Like, I pray for you to have not just like a, oh, they, look at all these sinners. I tithe 2 times a week, you know. Don't do that. Don't be like the publican. Honor God, but honor people as well with your thoughts and your prayers. And then whenever you're respectfully and honoringly calling someone out, as it were. And then go into this world and change it. You know, go into this world and change it. Be an influencer, be a dreamer, go do things. Like, we're here for a reason. God, again, Jesus didn't ask that we be taken out of this world. We are here for a reason. We're here to influence, we're here to change. Some of you guys are doing things and majoring in things and things that I couldn't even dream of, right? Go be a changer in your field of work. Like, be a life changer to those around you, to your friends, to your coworkers, to your dorm mates, to your roommates, to your husband, to your wife, to your kids. Change the world. Be a dreamer. And this is the thing, this is the quote, the William Carey quote that I think Robbie McAllister shared. But William Carey said this, you know, expect great things from God and attempt great things for God. So expect great things from God, but also attempt great things for Him. And that's what we need to live by. We need to resolve that we're going to follow after God and we're going to honor other people, but we're going to go and change this world. And so I wanted to encourage you guys, be dreamers, dream of big dreams. Like, know that this room is too small for us. No, like this place here, this campus, this isn't big enough for how God wants to use you to impact this nation, this world. So remember that, know that. And I want to encourage you to go. Like, remember that. I'll give us some time as we're thinking through how we're going to apply these things, even this week. And then also who we're going to share it with. So I want you guys to take about 30 seconds. I'll give you 20 seconds. Write down what you're going to do. And then, a little different, turn to the persons beside you. Share. Share with them right then and there. And then after about 2 minutes, I'll wrap us up with prayer. So do that. Share with the person beside you now or whatever. I'm going to come and share with you guys. Well, I really, really what struck me even this morning was be ready to have answers in how we live. Like, we're choosing, like, with having a kid, we're choosing to do things differently. Like, how we discipline, how we love, how we really train our child up in righteousness, and how Lauren is going to be teaching, teaching our child rather than not teaching, you know, that kind of. So we're doing homeschool. So having an answer ready of why we're living the way we live. So that's one thing. What about you guys?
Respect, you know, for others. Have those solutions ready to patience and thoughtfulness.
I'm pretty cautious with my heart anyway, but I think just kind of strikes me to be, especially sensitive to the way they communicate.
It's your job to communicate with people, actually.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Yeah, being sensitive to the situation.
For me, it's, I'm careful with my words as well, but a lot of things what I do is like say what people want to hear, sometimes cueing the message, which is something that I have to work on, but still kind of empathize with people and then not forward to change the poor message.
Nice. That's good. I like that. Thanks, guys. Well, Father God, we do praise you. We come before you thankful that you you can change our lives and you can use us to change others as well. So that's what we ask, God. We ask that you would allow us to apply the things that we've heard and that we would apply them to our lives, that we would let our lives be changed by your grace. God, we thank you that it's totally by your grace that we are saved through faith. God, we thank you it's totally by your grace that we're able to do all things. And so we ask for it, grace upon grace. Be merciful to us. We thank you that now we are a people. Now we have been shown mercy because of you, Jesus Christ. So thank you. Thank you for the opportunities that you give us every day to love and honor others. And we ask that we would do so in this world as a way to show honor and love to you, as showing that Christ is holy in our lives. So we ask that you would give us opportunities even this week, God. And we know that means that sometimes we'll be put in tough situations. But, Lord, give us opportunities to rely upon your grace. And we ask these things faithfully in Jesus Christ, your name. Amen.
You guys want to stand up? Sing.